those who just came in, just a little bit of a refresher for some, because not all heard the little introduction. I asked at the start how many knew the mission statement of our church. The mission statement appears every week on our church bulletins, and it's one of those things that... Sorry?
Should this intro be being
recorded? Are you recording now or not? No. So, but it's one of those things that, because it appears every week, I think we sometimes ignore it. So we shared, and it got people thinking for a few minutes. The church mission statement is this: communicating Christ to the world through the word, worship, and prayer. And we're going to have a few discussions in a couple of minutes about this. It was about 20 years ago that most churches and organizations were going through a time of revisioning what they were all about. And it was the latest trend in corporate theology as well, that somehow we need to know what is our vision, what is our mission. So there were corporate meetings, board meetings by churches, schools, and all these people would get together and they'd say, okay, what is our vision statement? And the vision statement is something that's a little bit overarching. It gives this grand thought of where we want to go and what we want to be. And then they came down to a mission statement. The mission statement being a little bit more where what the term they would use is an actionable item. How do we put this into action? So we have this vision. And for those of us who are believers, it would go and make, you know, maybe go and make disciples of all the nations. Wow, that's a grand vision. Are we doing it? Are we not doing it because it's kind of a too big a thing? I can't comprehend how we're going to do all of that. Even with another group of gathered around me, I can't comprehend how we're going to accomplish that task. It's a great vision. But now we get down and say, okay, so what can we do? What is our mission? What can I put into action to make this all work together? So people at Pine Grove sat down however many years ago, and I know this was briefly re-examined a couple of years ago when we were reimagining our church logo as well. But I want this to be something that we can look at and say, yeah, this is actually something we should be doing. It's more than just a slogan, more than just a logo that we see week after week. This is something we want to say, how can I put this into action? So the first one is, we communicate Christ through the Word. So now I'm asking you, how do you see that working here at Pine Grove? So when we say we're going to communicate Christ through the Word, what does that bring to you? How do you see that in action at Pine Grove? Okay, so Sunday morning services. So normally, I think a lot of people, when we gather, we think, okay, the word that is being preached week after week. Usually, though, if we're going to communicate to our world, how far does that one go? Well, maybe the end of the auditorium. Because it's those who are gathered here. Quite often, we probably don't have very many unbelievers at church. If we say the world. So when you say, okay, it's communicating it to our mission field, that is actually the one that we're looking for. This is where we want to be. But it's so easy to think, okay, I'll let somebody else do it. So we'll let the preachers, the evangelists do it. But it's no, I'm supposed to be doing this. Each one of us. Now, it was really interesting. The letter isn't up there right now. But Janelle Arnold, young lady who grew up in Pine Grove and is now working with a mission group in universities out in Calgary. She sent her latest prayer letter, and as I was reading it, it was rather interesting because she was talking to some of her students about the need to be sharing the gospel and bringing people to Christ. And one of the students just said, like, what does it mean to bring somebody to Christ? So Janelle said this was good for her, and it kind of brought her back. I need to look at this again. How do I make sure people understand what we are talking about? That we want to share this with others, and that it comes down to each one of us doing it. And Janelle said she felt very challenged by these words. Now, I put some Bibles on the tables as well. Some of you brought Bibles, but if you didn't, we put some Bibles out, and I would encourage you. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 13. So when we talk about bringing people to Christ, it really begins with what's there in verse 9. For it is with your heart that you believe, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So when we talk about bringing people to Christ, we're getting them to the place where in their heart they believe that Jesus is the one who was raised from the dead. They believe that he is the one that can save them from their sin. And they also begin to confess this with their mouth. And then it goes on and says, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, isn't that great news? So it's also saying here, not just Jew and Gentile, but those of us who are in the church and all of our neighbors who are outside the church or living in our neighborhoods. There's no difference between any of us. We're all the same. And all of us who call on the name of the Lord can be saved. We're not a special class of people. We're not better than anybody else. We just happen to be part of the group that has said, I will call on the name of the Lord. I will choose to be saved. And we need to be sharing that with others. But then this passage goes on and says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Oh, wow. If we say our goal, our mission as a church, and if we come here week after week and we gladly accept one of these pieces of paper, it's at the top. So I'm assuming that means priority, right? Yeah, let's go with that. I don't know if anybody thought that one through, but when it's at the top, it's a priority. Our priority is to make sure that the word is being shared with others. And it's not the preacher's responsibility. Because on Sunday morning, they have a limited audience. Oh, we can say, well, it expands because we put it on our website. Woohoo! And I'm sure that about 90% of our community out here is tuning into our website each week to listen to the sermon. Okay, maybe not. Maybe 0.0009%. But we need to now be the ones who go and we take this message to our world and we let them know there's a God who loves them, a God who cares for them, a God whose name they can call on and be saved. And you might look and say, but How big is that? Well, it's as big as you want it to be. And if it's only one person that you are sharing with, one person that you come across who needs this, that's your job. As a part of Pine Grove, that's your job, because that's our mission. We're going to sing together the song Shout to the North, a song that talks about taking the message to those who are around us.
South, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We've been through fire, we've been through rain, we've been refined by the power of His name. We've fallen deeper in love with You. Burn the truth on our lips. Rise up, church, with broken wings. Fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace again we'll fly. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth.
Let's sing that one more time.
Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. You are Lord of heaven and earth. You are Lord of heaven and earth.
Actually, I don't like that song, because it's a shout. And you know, usually, as bold as we can be, it's amazing how shy we can be when it comes to telling others about Jesus. To say, yeah, I think I'm going to shout that one out. Woo! Well, maybe I'll kind of mumble it under my breath that I happen to go to church on Sunday. It's amazing how we don't often like to really shout this great news that we have to others. Well, the second part of our mission statement says, we're going to communicate Christ to the world through worship. How do we communicate Christ through worship to our world? Any thoughts? Okay, all of our acts should be acts of worship. Remember that one. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, the way we work for our boss. Remember that, Mackie? The way you work for your boss should be an act of worship to God. I expect better times this summer. We are, we need to be the example, okay? Yeah, not everybody is ready for us to shout at them. Not everybody is ready for us to even talk to them. So this is great because this is actually what it is. Normally when people use the word worship, what do they refer to? Singing. We talk about, we're going to come now and worship the Lord. Okay, and we worship in singing. But worship is so much bigger than singing. Now, we can certainly worship in our singing as we praise God, as we seek to give him glory. That can be brought out in the singing that we do. But worship is so much more comprehensive than that. And you've covered it very well. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. So the writer of Hebrews, as he's been going through, he's been telling people how they can be saved and what it's going to be like to be a believer and a little bit of the expectation of heaven. And at the very end of chapter 12, so at verse 29, he says the following: "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." He says, okay, I've been telling you all about these great things. As believers, there are things to come. And because you're going to be receiving this great inheritance someday, you now need to say, I'm thankful and I want to worship God. Now, very often when we get to this passage, chapter 12 ended. So we think this is done. And in many of our Bibles, where some headings have been put in much later than under the inspiration of the original writers of the message, we come to chapter 13, and I think it's an unfortunate break in the thought process here by putting a new chapter here, because these are not new things. Many of our Bibles might include the word concluding exhortations, so they're throwaways. Just, as we're leaving, we think of all the things we wanted to talk about to those that we were talking to, and we start trying to shout them out like little one-liners, and hopefully they understand that we thought about much more than what all the things we just spent time doing. Well, when this writer comes and he says, we want to worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, here's how you do it. So chapter 13 of Hebrews is here's how you worship God. He says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Who is the each other? The believers. He's, okay, keep on loving each other. Do believers ever have a problem with this one? Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, maybe often. It's amazing how quickly we can be critical of each other. We can hold animosity or a grudge against another believer. And the Bible says, no. Keep on loving each other. That is worship. That is worship to God when you love one another as believers. God loves a church where love is running rampant. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Okay. Worshiping God means you entertain strangers. Boy, don't we have a great entertainer of strangers here at Pine Grove and Ted Bale? A stranger walks in and Ted's on him like a flea on a dog. He's there. He makes sure that they feel welcome. He makes sure that they feel loved. But it's not Ted's job. It's all of our job to make sure that anybody who comes, that they know we care about them, that they know that we are willing to go the extra mile for them. And it's so often it's the small things that are the most meaningful things for people. A lot of times I think we wait to do things because we're waiting for the big thing to come. When God calls me to do the great big thing, I'll do it. And we don't do any of the small things. When we begin to entertain strangers, when we show love for them, we are worshiping our God. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. We don't do a lot of prison ministry out of Pine Grove. Not everybody, I don't think, is going to be called to it. But do we care about those who are prisoners? Now, as Paul writes, he's also writing, the writer here, and I really do believe it was Paul who wrote Hebrews. Nobody is for sure on this one, but the writer is saying, treat them as if they were your fellow prisoners. Many of the prisoners at that point were also the persecuted church. Are we willing to stand with the persecuted church? We are to remember them. Remember those who are suffering for the sake of the gospel message that is going to be shared. A few weeks ago, during one of the Alpha videos, there was a really good session where we had a couple of ladies speaking about going to a mission field. They never identified the actual mission field they went to, but as they went to share the gospel, they would go out at night and deliver Bibles. Eventually, they were taken captive and put in prison, questioned. They were in there for over 9 months, and they're wondering, what happened. Sometime later, they were in Australia, and one of these ladies shared her testimony at a church. And somebody came up to her and said, by the way, I am one of those who received one of those Bibles. And it changed my life. They were willing to suffer. But we need to remember those who are being persecuted. Go on, verse 4. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. You worship God in your marriage. And all God's people said, ouch. Because it's a struggle at times, isn't it, to say we worship God in our marriage. And when he talks here about keeping the marriage bed pure, I think one of the things we need to realize is that this is not just after marriage. It actually talks about pre-marriage. If our young people need to know that they should keep themselves pure, for this is truly worship to God when they keep themselves pure for marriage. That is worship. It's how we praise our God. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with all you have. Okay. Another challenge, isn't it? Contentment is difficult at times. We live in an affluent society. And what is it that drives us? I mean, I think of the changes that have come into our society in the lifetime of many of the people here. And you think of the homes that we grew up in and the homes that we have now. And we think of how sometimes we feel so poor because we're having trouble paying our cell phone bill. And our parents never heard of a cell phone. And we grew up in a house where you were told, you know, you can't make phone calls because we only get 100 phone calls a month and it's a business phone. Never did forgive my parents for that. I couldn't go on the phone and just call anybody I wanted because that was my dad's business phone. You want to talk to somebody, you walk to their house to see them and say hello. But now we have so many things and we are having trouble keeping up. We're not necessarily content with what we have. But we worship God in our contentment. And that contentment, I don't think, is necessarily just related to finance. When you start to think of all the things happening in your life, and people might look at you and say, well, how is it that you can be so cool and calm when all of this is going on around you? How are you getting through this rough time? Maybe it's health issues. And as you live through that, people say, I don't understand. Why aren't you fretting? Why aren't you angry? Because you're spending your time in worship of God. Verse 7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. There's not a lot of respect for spiritual leaders these days. It's almost a game to see when we can take them down. You know, what can we find wrong? What can we nitpick with in something they said, something they did, something they failed to do? You know, they didn't come and visit me when I was sick. Had you told them that you were sick? Or did you expect God to reveal that in a special way to them, that you were sick? It's amazing how we don't have respect for leadership anymore. But we as believers are told, remember those leaders and imitate their way of life. Watch how our leaders are and say, you know what? That's where I need to be, and I'll follow them. By the way, it's hard to be a leader when nobody follows. And we as people of the church are called to be followers. We are the sheep. We have shepherds. That's the term pastor means. It's a shepherd. And we need to be willing to follow them. Chapter 13 goes on. Now it gives a little word of warning. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods. So, what is it? We have to be very careful in our doctrine. We worship God by seeking the truth. And it's easy to get caught up in all kinds of fanciful things. Elsewhere in Scripture, it does talk about, you know, don't get caught up in old wives' tales. You know, the little gossip-type things that get spread and have maybe a little wee hint of truth in their background, but it become almost fanciful. Don't get caught up in fairy tales. Don't get caught up in things that really don't have any value. We should look at the things we believe and say, what is its value? And if it has none, maybe you should let it go aside and don't spend a lot of time on it. We're also told that in verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. So it actually goes beyond remember them and watch what they do. It actually talks about obedience to our leaders. And that's a little bit bigger than our church as well. I know we're not always satisfied with our governments, but we do need to obey them. We need to follow and be careful what we do. It also says, okay, actually, I know at this point we're going to sing again another song now that talks about our worship and the fact that we are doing it in all that we do.
Stripped away and simply come, longing just to pray something that's a word that'll bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required.
And I think that's a good reminder. It says, when the music fades. That was Hannah's suggestion for a song for this one. Because, yeah, it's about all our lives that we give in worship. So now we're told, our part of our action plan was communicating Christ to the world through the word, worship, and prayer. So how does prayer come to this? How do we effectively pray in order to communicate Christ to our world?
street corner like this, but sometimes it does. But I'm thinking in my own private prayer life, praying for my loved ones and other things, people that God brings in my mind. You know, I found myself one time praying for all those people God had raised around the world to be missionaries and whatever, not only missionaries, but ministers. I also find myself praying, I said, Lord, birth the prayers in your church. Birth them. Like, give us the prayers that he wants us to pray, and he knows what's needed.
Okay, I don't need to say a whole lot more then. That was great, Lorraine, because actually she's just hit it. So often when we start thinking about prayer, Lord, convict that Hannah of the sin she is in to bring her to you. Lord, lay it on our heart what her great need is. And we start to almost relish the thought of how we want God and the Spirit to get into their lives. And, you know, that's what we're looking for. Actually, it was interesting. In Hebrews chapter 13 and at verse 18, he says, pray for us. And who is now the writer talking about? Basically, the missionaries. Pray for those who are preaching the word. He writes, we are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. But it's like, okay, I think we're doing good as missionaries. I think we're going out there and doing well. But I need you to be praying for us, that our lives are with a clear conscience, because it's that worshipful life that has the greatest impact. When you read some of the really great mission stories, very seldom does somebody walk into a mission community or missional community and they say, by the way, you need to believe in Jesus, and all the people bowed down and believed. Just doesn't seem to happen very often. Or if it does happen, usually there is a great background story that went with that about some missionary who came and labored in that community for 30, 40, 50 years and saw nobody come to know Christ. And they were in there, and these people watched them and said, wow, they lived in our community for all that time. They didn't complain. They loved us. They were faithful. They were consistent. And then they died. And now the new person comes in and says, you know what, you need to believe in the God that, you know what, if it was worth dying for, if that missionary was so faithful for their 50 years of giving of themselves, you know what, maybe I better believe. And you will read some of those great stories where, yeah, it's the second generation missionary that goes in, and they seem to reap the harvest. But it wasn't because of their grandeur, it was because of the faithful lives of those who had gone in before. And we need to be praying for all missionaries. And by the way, then, that means, because when we talked about the word, and whose duty is it to spread it? All. All. It's not just a few. So you need to be praying for all the missionaries you see gathered here today, that God will keep us as a group living lives with a good conscience, that our lives will impact our communities. And we pray for one another. It's easy to pray and say, I'm going to pray for you because you're sick. I'll pray for you because you lost a job. I'll pray for you because you're going through a hard time. I'll pray because you had surgery. Thank you for those prayers. But even more important is the prayer that says, Lord, help keep this community faithful to you. Lord, come alongside us and keep us free from sin. Help us to live lives that give honor to you every step of the way. That's our desire. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, verse 21. says, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. So that we... Okay. Okay, equipping us by making us doing his will. Yeah, absolutely. That's the desire, that we would have that. And I think that, I love the King James in that context then. Yeah, I think it does a good job of saying what this is all about. Because, as I say, we read these items, these closing remarks are not throwaways at all. This is really a massive conclusion to everything the writer said. I want you all to be a part of this great commission work, this wonder of sharing the gospel, the wonder of bringing our world. And you know, when we talk about the world here, let's look at our world. Each of us has a world around us that we can share with, and that's our job. So we're going to close with a song. And I trust that when we sing this song, it truly is our desire. This is my desire to honor you. Heavenly Father, it is so great to spend time with your people, to share with one another. And Lord, I pray that our desire would be to serve you, and that we would allow you to have your way in us. Amen.